Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today's Wednesday, February 18th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia, real radio made by real members of the community for listeners who really care about community. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
PacifiCorp customers will be sharing the cost of removing the dams on the Klamath River as of yesterday.
In Seattle, employees are looking to buy out their foundering employer, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer.
And a federal judge today refused to toss up charges against five U.S. security contractors accused of killing 14 Iraqi civilians in 2007.
Portland area weather, cloudy, some sun later this afternoon, highs in the low 50s, and then tonight, partly cloudy with lows 35 to 40.
And first we go to some regional stories. What is a transition town? It all starts when a small collection of motivated individuals within a community come together with a shared concern. How can our community respond to the challenges, the opportunities of peak oil and climate change? Joining us this morning is Jim Newcomer, a member of the core hub of Transition Towns PDX. Good morning, Jim. Thanks for being with us. Jim will be with us in just a minute. In Europe, transition towns have really caught on. It's a way of organizing people, people's skills and people's needs in a way that is mutually beneficial to all concerned. There are some 80 towns in England right now. That number is growing. Here in the United States, there are transition towns in Colorado and on the East Coast, and gradually forming right here in Portland, thanks to people like my guest this morning, Jim Newcomer. Good morning, Jim. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Hi.
Talk about transition towns in the context of Portland, of our community.
Well, I start with, I was working with the Portland Peak Oil Task Force a couple of years ago and really got concerned about the future of energy supplies and about global warming and other changes that will occur, and realized that probably in 100 years from now, we'll all be living much more local lives than we did 20 years past. And transition towns came in. It shows us a kind of a blueprint for organizing locally in neighborhoods, in small towns, to make life enjoyable under new circumstances, with what we call resilient communities that can survive when things change.
How would you describe a resilient community?
Well, it can obviously it's designed to survive shock and radical changes, but also, it's what we're aiming for is where neighbors know each other, work together, can raise food together, do canning, community kitchens, can learn old skills that their grandparents do that young people now have forgotten, can build a local culture so local bands and artists are welcome and honored, and can just enrich each other's lives, jobs, programs, support local merchants, local banks, building actually a community that works.
So if people wanted to find out more about transition towns right here in Portland and in our listening area, or in fact wherever they are, because people do listen to KBOO online from all over the world, how would they find out more about this?
The local website would be a good place to start. That would be transitionpdx.org. Worldwide, the best place to go is the website from England, which is transitiontowns.org.
Thank you very much. My guest this morning has been Jim Newcomer, a member of the core hub of Transition Towns PDX. Thank you so much, Jim.
New EPA standards meant to protect people from dangerous chemical compounds will more than double the cost of cleanup of contaminated sites. In January, the Oregon DEQ adopted the federal standards for a number of common compounds found in home heating oil.
All of these costs, though, should be viewed as investments in natural capital, about the natural capital being right now about the only game in town, since the other kind of capital is clearly crashing and burning. A bill to impose a surcharge on Pacific Oil customers to pay for removal of 4 hydroelectric dams on the Klamath River was endorsed yesterday by the Oregon Senate. Again, it's an investment in natural capital. The bill goes to the House next, of course, and the legislation is needed to put into effect an agreement among farmers, fishers, tribes, and others to improve salmon runs and settle a lengthy water struggle in Oregon and California's Klamath Basin.
The latest Oregon Progress Board report shows that the state little changed from 2 years ago. Of the 7 benchmark categories in the report, 6 fare the same as in 2007, and the other category, the economy, is worse. The report out yesterday shows some strengths, but not much on the plus side.
You got to wonder how much it costs to generate a report that basically says not much. Here's a ray of light. The Pacific Northwest Newspaper Guild has scheduled a meeting next Tuesday to discuss whether Seattle Post intelligence or workers are interested in a possible employee buyout of the newspaper. The union represents Post Intelligencer workers. It's trying to figure out whether there is sufficient interest to begin a consultant and seek state money for a feasibility study. The Hearst Corporation put the newspaper up for sale on January 9th and said it would stop printing the paper in 60 days. Not much time left. Let's hope they manage to pull this off.
Maybe they could get some bailout money and the workers could buy the bad companies. The Fort Lewis-based 5th Stryker Brigade Combat Team, 2nd Infantry Division, is headed to Afghanistan in midsummer. The nearly 4,000 soldiers had been scheduled to go to Iraq this summer. President Obama approved adding some 17,000 U.S. troops for the flagging war in Afghanistan, his first significant move to change the course of that conflict. Besides the Stryker Brigade, those forces will include a Marine unit and support troops.
How about if they stayed home and helped workers just take over these businesses that are failing? The Hanford Advisory Board is cautioning the Department of Energy to make sure it has some place, anywhere, to store vitrified Hanford waste for decades, but not necessarily permanently. The big concern here is because of delays in opening a national repository to dispose of the waste. Congress directed the Department of Energy to study only Yucca Mountain for the nation's repository in 1987, and the plan has been rocked by objections ever since.
A northern Idaho man whose family received a house from the Extreme Makeover Home Edition television program 3 years ago is facing foreclosure. Eric Hebert put the house up for sale last year. He said the maintenance had become too expensive and time-consuming. Hebert used the house as collateral for a loan from Wells Fargo, and now he can't make the payments.
Oh, the humanity. And now we go to D.C. Dirt with KBOO's own Spencer Raymond. Good morning, Spencer. Thanks for being with us again today.
You're welcome, Chris. Good morning.
Good morning. So, what about this? There was an article in Mother Jones by Nomi Prinz. Prinz claims that all of these corporate CEOs who've said, that's okay, I won't get my bonus this year, that's okay, we won't have any raises. This is more or less treading water until the public outrage calms down. Prinz writes, bonuses will rebound, they always do. And Wall Street also has a long history of finding inventive ways to bump up executives' compensation. See, isn't that wonderful to know that America still leads in innovation, at least in some areas? So how does this all fit together? Obama's foreclosure measures, $75 billion, bonuses on Wall Street, just kind of going and standing outside and having a cigarette quietly until the trouble blows over.
Well, it's interesting how what's going on Wall Street is kind of affecting how the Obama administration is really planning a route to help Wall Street fix itself, to think about the foreclosure issues. And if you talk about the executives, the CEOs, the ones who have indicated that they will bypass the bonuses for the year. You know, a lot of times they do that to simply save face because they are, you know, public people for the most part. They're the leaders of big American institutions at these financial companies. And when they say they're going to take a pay cut, that makes the American people think, at least, that they understand what's going on, that they can, you know, they're doing so as a self-sacrifice to help their companies.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's the illusion, again, that we were expected to buy, just as we bought the illusion of these terrific mortgages and the false sense of security in home ownership. Spencer, thank you so much. I think this is something that we'll want to revisit tomorrow. And thanks for joining us. That was, of course, KBOO Spencer Raymond with DC Dirt, joining us as he does every weekday morning. Liam, what have you got?
Today, a federal judge refused to toss out charges against five U.S. security contractors accused of killing 14 Iraqi civilians in 2007. The ruling came in an early legal challenge brought by defense attorneys representing the guards, who worked at the time for Blackwater Worldwide, now known as Z. The guards' attorneys had argued the government didn't have jurisdiction.
I love that. Z, spelled X-E, like xenon, the colorless, odorless, invisible gas. Attorney General Eric Holder is headed to Guantanamo Bay next week to examine the detention facility. You thought I was going to say that he was going to be doing some time. President Barack Obama has given Holder the job of leading the administration's effort to shut down the site within a year.
Cynthia Boaz, writing in Truth Out, says that in the wake of Patrick Leahy's call for a truth commission to investigate the abuses of the Bush-Cheney administration, the Obama administration has been disturbingly silent. It's safe to say that the president's less than forthful position on the issue has been a source of intense criticism and skepticism from the left. The question is the president's sincerity regarding his claims to promote a new era of transparency and accountability in American politics.
Surprise, surprise. Senator Roland Burris now acknowledges attempting to raise money for ousted Governor Rod Blagojevich. This is just the latest twist in his ever-changing story on how he landed a coveted Senate appointment from the man accused of trying to sell the seat. This power corrupts, but money and power together can bring down a whole nation.
A federal prosecutor says that the Miami man accused of plotting to destroy Chicago's Sears Tower and bomb FBI offices sold out their country for money. Prosecutors are trying to convict the so-called Liberty City Six on four terrorism-related charges after two previous trials ended in hung juries. The men are accused of plotting terror attacks with an FBI informant they thought was an al-Qaeda operative.
If these guys can be charged of trying to bring down their country for money, what about Bernie Madoff? What about the CEOs of Lehman Brothers? What about the CEO of General Motors and Ford? Aren't they selling out their country for money? And finally, we have this. Supporters of the Iraqi shoe thrower are making themselves heard on the eve of the man's trial. There was a protest today in Baghdad by about 100 supporters, actually, and the Reuters video, it looks like there's well over 100 people. And the Iraqi TV journalist who threw his shoes at then-President George W. Bush at a news conference. A lawyer for the journalist, Muntadhar al-Zaidi, says the defense will ask for a postponement when court convenes tomorrow. He also plans to ask for the man's release, describing the episode as a spontaneous act against the president of the state that now occupies Iraq.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Wednesday, February 18th, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering this morning is Paula Chernoff. The GABU AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints. Marjorie Cohn of the National Lawyers Guild talks about rendition and the Obama administration.
Thanks for listening and have a good day.